as we offer our lives to God in prayer. During the prayer, you'll hear the words, "In your love and mercy," and I'm inviting you to respond together. We'll say, "Hear our prayer." Okay? Holy One, spark of life, creation was envisioned by you and is sustained by you. In gratitude, we pray for the world, that its riches and resources be used responsibly and fairly, that its rulers and leaders may govern with justice, compassion, and humility, that humankind may live with understanding and respect, noticing what unites us. In your love and mercy, hear our prayer. Holy One, Prophet of Love, you lived among us to teach us, to show us how to love. In humility, we pray for siblings around the globe, for those dehumanized by their struggle for existence, may we listen. For those overshadowed by the constancy of death, may we notice. For those besieged by fear, anger, and relentless peril, may we show up. And for those ensnared by systems beyond their control, may we demand change. In your love and mercy, hear our prayer. Holy One, Breath of Being, you are here in this very moment as constant presence and insistent voice. In gratitude we pray, with boldness we pray, inundate the world with humanity, overwhelm the world with truth, flood the world with kindness, upset our indifference, accelerate our action, and fortify our resolve, compel us to authentic discipleship that nurtures creation, embodies love, and breathes life. In your love and mercy, amen. Our gospel lesson this morning is from Luke's gospel. We'll hear chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Hear the word of God. Once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked all night long but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. This is the word of the Lord. Where are you? At this latitude, you are spinning 2,100 kilometers an hour around the Earth's axis. And the Earth, upon which you are sitting and spinning at 2,100 kilometers an hour, is orbiting around the Sun at 168,000 kilometers per hour. Now, that's not all. The solar system, of which our planet is a part, the sun and the planets as a whole, is like a merry-go-round, unhinged, spinning and bobbing and blinking at a speed of 112,000 kilometers per hour along a course set east of Hercules. And we're not even getting our hair messed up. It just boggles my mind. Sort of shakes me up a bit, too. My perspective about where I am. Doesn't it boggle your mind? Realizing that since I first asked that question, "Where are you?" You are now thousands of kilometers from the place in the universe you were moments before. Albert Einstein once was asked, "What is the most important question you can ask in life?" And he answered, "Is the universe a friendly place or not?" Friends, when Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, the most important question of his contemporaries was, "Are the angels friend or foe?" Since angels were understood to be the driving force behind the elements of the universe, it is clear that, like Einstein, the folks of the biblical era, they wanted to know if the universe was a friendly place or not. So, for a moment, let's explore the whereabouts of Simon, who became Peter, Simon Peter, in those 11 verses of our gospel lesson. Because it's there that I believe we find a man who, in a brief span of time, journeyed through the universe and back again. In a similar fashion that we imagine the call of God upon the reluctant prophet Jeremiah in our reflection last Sunday, I want to invite us this week to envisage the call of God upon a hesitant disciple, Simon, Peter, by and upon the Sea of Galilee. Simon, where are you? Well, I'm on the shore of this unrelenting lake. This is where I've always been. And look, I'm cleaning my nets when I should be cleaning fish. You know, fishing is all I've ever known. And it seems I'm even a failure at that. But I'm where I belong, I suppose. After all, it's where you would have found my dad and his dad before him. This is where I am, frankly. I'm tired and discouraged. I feel stuck. Well, excuse me for a moment. It seems my friend Jesus needs a hand with something. Simon, where are you? I'm in my boat with Jesus. He needed some space. It's the least I could do. After all, he was awfully good to my mother-in-law. She was quite sick, and he healed her. It was amazing. It's no wonder folks sure are attracted to this guy. He's a nice enough fellow. I've heard him speak a few times, but haven't got much out of what he said. You know, he talks about the beginning of a kingdom and seeds and sheep. But like I said before, I'm a fisherman, and that's more than enough for me to concern myself with. Well, excuse me, but I think he's finished. I'd better take him back to shore. I don't know if he can swim. Simon, where are you? Oh, I'm on my way out in the boat again, and we're heading out to deep water. I don't know what difference that's going to make. The others think I'm out of my mind. Listening to a carpenter about when and where to go fishing. What advice could he give? Then again, we'll never catch fish just sitting on the shore. Got nothing to lose. Maybe Jesus just wants another ride in the boat. Probably doesn't get out on the water much. Excuse me, but I think I've got something. Holy mackerel! I've fished a long time and I've never seen anything like this. Never been with anyone quite like this. Simon, where are you? I'm in the presence of my Lord. His divine power is overwhelming, and I can't bear to be in his presence because I recognize who I truly am. I'm not good. I'm impure. I don't deserve his company. This whole experience is really terrifying. Simon, Peter, where are you? I'm on the shore again, but it's like the whole world has changed. I've changed. I don't understand it, but the shore upon which you first found me pales to the one I'm standing upon now. You'll have to excuse me. I'm leaving now. Jesus invited me to join him on the way, and I have no idea what we're in for, but I know of no other I would rather be with. It's a wonderfully strange feeling. You see, I'm kind of excited, but shaking in my boots a bit too. Don't tell the other guys. Friends, Simon, who became Peter, like the early Christians, had a clear response to the question posed by Einstein. They had discovered the smiling face of God. Their hymns and songs celebrated the power of Christ over thrones, dominions, and angels. The one who fashioned worlds and galaxies and gave music to the spheres was not only friend, but also lover of their inhabitants. Where are you? Wherever you find yourself in our gospel story, wherever you find yourself today, wondering, questioning, doubting, guilty, fearful, excited, apprehensive, please remember this. Jesus is near. On the shore and in the boat. Even when he seems distant, he'll walk on water to get to you. He will never give up on you. We would do well to never give up on him. Where are you? Wherever you are, the good news is the possibility for you and me to participate in a journey of universal importance and beyond our imaginings awaits us all. Wherever you find yourself and you hear the call of God upon your life, you can respond in only two ways. Depart from me, or here I am, send me. Yes, there's no question that answering God's call is a challenge for us. When we hear a word from God, sometimes like the disciples, we tend to use our own limited intellect to decipher what he wants. When actually what God wants is just simple obedience and faith in him. And when we obey and head out to the deep water to let down our empty nets, even when it doesn't make a lot of sense to us, God is able to do some rather amazing things. Strike the rock with your staff and see what happens. Walk around that wall and blow your horns and see what happens. Fill up those stone jars with water and see what happens. Cast your net on the other side of the boat, then see what happens. Roll away the stone from that tomb and see what happens. Isaiah, you think your lips are unclean? Peter, you say you're a sinner. Paul, you say persecuting and executing Christians is your pastime. Trust and obey and see what happens. Friends, if the results depended on our ability to do everything right or to not make a move until we understood everything completely, then I expect not much would happen. So can we say, Yet if you say so, we will let down the nets. Friends, let us leave our weariness and rest in him. Let us leave our doubts and trust in him. Let us wait to be awestruck by what God is going to do by simply responding in obedience and faithfulness to the little that we do understand, and take the risk even when it seems impossible. Here we are, Lord. Send us.